and I may come?" I asked eagerly.
"Why, surely," he answered cordially.
He had an enormously massive, genial manner, which was almost as overpowering as his violence. His smile of benevolence was a wonderful thing, when his cheeks would suddenly bunch into two red apples between his half-closed eyes and his great black beard.
"By all means, come. It will be a comfort to me to know that I have one ally in the hall, however inefficient and ignorant of the subject he may be. I fancy there will be a large audience, for Waldron, though an absolute charlatan, has a considerable popular following. Now, Mr. Malone, I have given you rather more of my time than I had intended. The individual must not monopolize what is meant for the world. I shall be pleased to see you at the lecture tonight. In the meantime, you will understand that no public use is to be made of any of the material that I have given you."
"But, Mr. McCardle, my news editor, you know, will want to know what I have done."
"Tell him what you like. You can say, among other things, that if he sends anyone else to intrude upon me, I shall call upon him with a riding whip. But I leave it to you that nothing of all this appears in print." "Very good. Then the Zoological Institute's hall at 8:30 tonight."
I had a last impression of red cheeks, blue rippling beard, and intolerant eyes, as he waved me out of the room.